As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Quali is short for qualifying. If you DNF, you did not finish. In the off-season, there's no Formula One. Once the season starts, there's racing. The team changed their name, which means they had a different name, and they raced under that name and not the old name. Las Vegas is in America. Ferrari are red. If you didn't win, then you haven't won. If you qualify first, then you start the race at the front, and that's good. The quickest car is the least slowest car. When the lights go out, the race starts, and with every lap, there are less laps left. If you can overtake, you are no longer behind the car that was in front of you. These drivers drive to survive.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, March 7th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this one's for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. We love to see that. Lots to talk about here today, and we start with a wedgie. Another one. Wedgie number 45. Whoa. Spencer Dinwiddie sticks the three-point wedgie in Los Angeles.
More like Spencer Dinwedgie, am I right?
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, that's good, buddy. 45 wedgies on the season. Look at that pace. 62. Incredible.
3 in 4 days.
Wow.
That's a lot.
I almost don't want to talk about it, you know? It's it's like someone with a no-no going in the eighth inning. Don't look at the pitcher. Don't talk to him. Just let it be. Don't jinx anything. But yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Let that wedgie stay in
breathe.
There.
Yeah.
Right. Never tell a pitcher who's got a no-hitter that he's got a wedgie. Never.
Wow. Yeah. Has any pitcher ever thrown a no-no or a perfect game with just a full-on wedgie?
That's a great question.
You would not pick it out.
Yeah.
If you had to go, you would have to leave it.
You've got to leave it. Don't touch it. All right. Before we get into last night's games, and we have the up-down report later, some breaking news here this morning from Shams and John Krasinski at The Athletic. Timberwolves star Karl-Anthony Towns has tore the meniscus in his left knee, and he's out indefinitely. Towns, obviously an all-star last month. He has been gathering second opinions on the injury over the last 24 hours or so. But holy moly, Cat is on the shelf for at least a little bit of time here. I mean, possibly Tass, the remainder of the season. For all we know, we'll wait to find out what he decides.
Right. We do not know. That being said, when you hear a tear in a meniscus, the options here that he's going through are surgery or not. So if he chooses not, then he could be back on the floor.
True.
That's all I remember from Towns' knees injuries in the past is that he's never suffered this. He has suffered plenty of knee injuries over his career, but never the meniscus. So TBD.
Man, what a bad blow, though, here for the Wolves, regardless of whether he can come back in, 4 to 8 weeks or if he's done for the season. This still sucks.
Yeah, exactly right. The Timberwolves have been great all season long. Towns was an all-star, kind of unexpectedly, had a really good season. And you just heard this on Zach Lowe's podcast. There's not a lot of chemistry between Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns, like as a 1-2 for the Timberwolves, because Gobert is usually the screen guy. So less of an opportunity to work on that down the stretch here. I guess the good news is the Timberwolves have a 6-game lead over the Pelicans in fifth seed right now. So they got some space to at least maintain a home playoff series, depending on Towns' treatment. Maybe he comes back at the end of the season. Maybe he's ready for the playoffs. But just really bad timing. Sucks for him. Sucks for the Timberwolves. They're going on a 6-game road trip starting tonight. So tough times for Minnesota.
Yeah, and I mean, whether they're the one seed or the four seed or whoever they're playing, if you do not have Karl-Anthony Towns, I wonder how many people would be picking them in a series to even advance out of the first round. Drop your Nas Reeds in the chat. All caps locks, that's of good. Course. You know, they do have him. He's going to get more of an opportunity.
That's true.
But still, he has had a really incredible season. Obviously stretches the floor, and, you know, things were going well. They're 43-19. I mean, this is one of their best seasons in franchise history. Mm-hmm. And now he might be done.
I guess it is, if you want to look, you know, with the rose-colored glasses, it is 6-plus weeks away that the postseason starts, so you can start to say, oh, he could be back in 4 to 5 weeks, like we're hearing about Joel Embiid, although it's 4 weeks for Embiid, and we still don't know the news on that one, so mm-hmm. it could be terrible news. Trey brings up a good point, though, about working it out with other guys, because as good as they are, they do have problems in clutch time. They are one of the worst teams in clutch time in fourth quarters. That is something that they should be working on, and they were working on to get better at. They are a pretty mediocre team offensively, and that's because their fourth quarter becomes a stagnant team. They just don't move the ball enough. Right. So chemistry between Towns and Edwards and Conley and all that in the fourth quarter is important. They just become this team that's relies on Towns, relies on Edwards, but they just become this ISO team. So that would have been nice to work on over this last 6 weeks. That hurts.
In other injury news, I'll just slip this in here. The Nets say Ben Simmons is out for the remainder of the season while he consults with specialists and explores treatment options for the nerve impingement in his lower back. Recurring injury. He's back to this. He's going to be shelved for the rest of the season. You know, the Nets are not really, you know, going to be, I mean, they might, I guess, get into the play-in, but that's even unlikely, so this doesn't really have a huge impact on their season this year, you know, the final 20 games or so, and maybe a play-in spot, but, you know, just once again with Ben Simmons in this lower back, you just wonder how long this keeps going until this guy, unfortunately, is just like, I don't know, maybe stops playing basketball to begin for forever. I don't know, because this is how many times now? 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least?
Yeah. He's got next year on his contract.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah, okay. Beyond that, I don't think the Nets are signing him to a long-term deal.
I don't know that anybody would.
No.
And they're hoping probably for a disabled exception even going into next season because they made this huge trade for him. And he's unable to play for long periods of stretch since they got him.
Yeah.
So they would rather, I'm sure, just say, well, we could eat that $40 million in some way and get an exception and move on than a team that they ran around Ben Simmons going into the season. They said, it's your ball, man. You do it. And I think that seemed to bother other guys within the team, like Mikal Bridges and others. And that's why they sit here at 11th. Can't even sniff 10th right now.
Right. Okay, let's get into last night's games. We'll start with the Warriors bouncing back and ending the Milwaukee Bucks 6-game win streak. You know, Steph Curry hitting 6 threes. Some good play from Trayce Jackson-Davis. I thought he was great on both ends. But what jumped out to you from the Warriors' dominant victory over the Bucks here?
Yeah, after losing by 52 to the Celtics, they go and win by 35. The first team in NBA history with a 30-point win immediately after a 50-point loss.
Wow.
Okay, thanks, Scott Van Pelt, for that stat. He's the one who broke it. But I think it was the energy spurt from the youth, because we've been talking about this team for a long time as they gear towards a different franchise, really. Right. just
iteration.
how they've gone from, you know, Curry, Green, Clay, and now Chris Paul, who's awesome right now, to this new team. I thought Trayce Jackson-Davis's blocks on Giannis Antetokounmpo in the third quarter were monstrous for this team. He was their energy. He really was. 2 consecutive blocks on that possession with Giannis, and then he goes and gets a lob on the other end from Chris Paul. 3 blocks in that third quarter, 7 of 8 from the field. So it's the Kerr thing that everybody was pissed off about. Well, play the young guys. Well, now TJD, I don't like saying Trayce Jackson-Davis. I like to say TJD, Kuminga, nice. Braden Pods, Jemski, Moses Moody. Those 4 guys are sort of this other iteration, and they're awesome. Other than James Wiseman, that wasn't good. Those 4 guys have been working out, so they're moving on. And this was just an energetic team. And it kind of overshadows the fact that Andrew Wiggins came back after missing a few games with the personal reasons because he didn't have a good game. It was a quiet, very quiet game, but it's good that they went and spanked the second best team in the Eastern Conference after losing to the first best team in the Eastern Conference. Things worked.
78 points for the Warriors in the first half. Then they went ice cold in the third, and the Bucks sort of got back into the game a little bit. But then a dominant fourth quarter, Trey, 32-9. For Golden State, and that's how they got this 35-point win.
Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. Last five games, the Bucks and the Warriors both have 30-point wins and 30-point losses, so it just happens, and Tass nailed it. The Bucks were at an athleticism deficit, I thought, last night. The Warriors got 9 dunks. Kuminga was running wild, I thought, in the first half. 13 blocks for the Warriors as well, and they're the small ball team out there, 19-10 in fast break points as well. So, yeah, TJD really, really brought it to Giannis. I think he kind of had like the first time advantage, like the first time guarding Giannis. Like, how am I going to score on this guy? He's actually pretty quick. He's strong enough to take the bumps. And he apparently read the scouting report that says Giannis loves to go left and then spin back right. He was just waiting on it.
Yeah.
Great stuff there. And you got to give the Warriors a little credit. They've been experimenting with their defense. The Jaylen Brown one, it didn't work. But TJD on Giannis, that one did work. Right. So good stuff from Steve Kerr, trying some things out as we get closer and closer to the playoffs.
And can I get your opinions on Steph Curry's golf celebration, a little putt?
You call that a putt?
Was it a chip? Was it a putt? I don't know golf all that well. You think it was more of a chip?
Yeah, he peeled back.
Okay.
He went way back.
Sure, right. Sure.
After hitting a basket. Goes back on the other end. Decides he's using the wedge or the pitch wedge. I don't know what he's using. That was weird.
Is that a holy moly promo?
Oh, wow, maybe.
Oh, very nice.
That's still on? Probably. I don't know.
I think it is. Our friend Jared once texted me out of the blue. He's like, are you watching Holy Moly? It's awesome. I'm like, what? Really? He's like, yeah, it's incredible.
Cool.
So I didn't check it out. But, I mean, we've seen Curry in warm-ups do a lot of these other sport celebrations or whatever you want to call them. You know, there's been bowling and obviously volleyball, I feel like, and football and even golf, if I remember correctly. But here he's pulling it out. Yeah. Mid game. He was feeling himself. He was hitting his shots early. I think he hit his first 5, a couple of those 3, and then, did the little golf move. A little golf clap from the crowd would have been cool.
Would have been really cool.
They have gone to, the Capitals one. It's sponsored by Capitals one. The match on TNT where they have athletes, yes, exactly. Come golf. They did that last month.
Steph
I think.
Did it, right?
Did he?
He did it against Clay.
Who
played
he did
once
upon a time, yeah.
Yeah, way back in the day.
Sure. Yes. Anyways, enough golf talk. It is good to see, like we said, when Wiggins was gone, Moody was in the starting lineup, and that could be something that they have to go to in the postseason. Not to say that Wiggins is going to stink, because we don't know. But he was just, he was bad in this one, and... Yeah, they just went young. And Moses Moody was awesome in his 20 minutes. Trace Jackson Davis was 7 for 8. I guess I like saying Trace Jackson Davis, but he was 7 for 8 in this one. They're just
well. You said Scott Van Pelt too. You didn't say SVP.
SVP.
Dynamite.
<He's good. laughs> Let's move on because that was a weird game for sure. But the Warriors take care of business there. Kawhi Leonard, 28 points as the Clippers rallied late for the 122-116 win over the Rockets. Houston was in control for a majority of this game. Clippers storm back, get the W. TK, any thoughts or takeaways from this one?
Yeah, I thought this game really turned when the Clippers started controlling the pace pretty much in the second half because just like the Bucks, they're a team that can struggle against really athletic teams. We saw Anthony Edwards like trash-talking Kawhi Leonard of all people saying, you're old. And sometimes they looked old. Like in the first half, I thought Cam Whitmore went crazy, scored 12 of his 17 in the first half, had a nice windmill he threw down as well. But then starting in the third quarter, I thought it turned into a much more methodical game, which plays to the Clippers' strengths. They had 14 of their 19 assists in the second half. The ball was moving so much better. Kawhi kept drawing double teams, getting off the ball. He had 7 assists to 0 turnovers, and he must have had a few more secondary assists as well because there's a lot of tic-tac-toe passing. Then finally the fourth quarter, after Paul George has been cooking for a while, after Harden has been scoring efficiently, Kawhi started seeing some singles, and he just went crazy. 10 points, 4 for 4 in the fourth quarter. He's been a little slow out of the gates in the second half of the season after the All-Star break here. I don't know if it's just because the Clippers like had that great run in the first half, and now they're just trying to maintain until the playoffs come. They just haven't had necessarily the same verve, I think, in the second half of the season. But last night, they looked pretty good starting in that third quarter.
You're totally right about other teams who can run may run past the Clippers, especially in the regular season. You see this transition defense, even the transition offense, they're just not running. So other teams who are more athletic can be better. Will that change in the postseason when you really care about getting back on every possession? Probably, but it is...
Like it favors the Clippers, you mean?
Yeah.
The type of playoff basketball.
They should be able to get back a little bit more. Is it, you know, flipping the switch type thing? A little bit. But they have been awesome this entire year. It is a little weird to see robot Kawhi just slow down a little bit, but he went into the All-Star game and he always says what he wants, and he said, we got to be better in the second half, and he was to the point, I guess, but they've been so freaking awesome, but he just wants to win a championship, and when you watch him play like this, holy, he was awesome. He shot over 60% in this game. I thought the Plumlee was good in the second half, really, coming in for Zubats. He didn't play in the first half. He played a ton in the second half. 8 points, 11 boards. And Ime Udoka of the Rockets went to the hack of Plumlee with 3 minutes left.
Uh-oh.
He missed both, but then he goes back on the defensive end and blocks a shot, and that turns into points. So the Clippers went on their run to finish it off. So good for the Plum Dog. I hate seeing the hack of anybody. Come on.
You don't see it as much these days.
No, you don't. Yeah, a lot of these guys can shoot for the most part.
Yeah. But Plumlee pulls out the take your hand off the ball, just a one-hand shot when he does it. Sometimes it goes in, sometimes it doesn't. So 11 boards all in the second half. He was big for them.
All right, so let's move on to the Sacramento Kings. De'Aaron Fox, Star Fox, tying his career high with 44 points as the Kings beat the Lakers 130-120. Obviously of note here because the Kings are trying to, you know, get out of the play-in, back into the top six, and you've got the Warriors and Lakers continuing to sort of swap spots. Warriors win last night, Lakers lose, so now the Warriors are in the ninth spot. But De'Aaron Fox, TK, holy moly, I thought he was abusing Austin Reeves.
Pretty fast.
Holy, he was touching paint
quick.
All the time, and then had some really nice finishes over Anthony Davis, like when he would get all the way to the rim. Someone's high off the glass and had that little floater going, but yeah, Austin Reeves last night could not guard this guy.
They needed Gabe Vincent back, am I right? They needed anybody. Jared Vanderbilt, he would have helped too, but not the fleetest of foot for the Lakers out there compared to Fox. A huge win, though, for the Kings. It would have been a half-game lead that Sacramento had over LA had the Lakers pulled it out. Instead, a game and a half, Lakers dropped to 10th, and the Kings win the season series against LA. They've won all three matchups so far, so the Lakers have to pass them if they want to surpass the Kings in seeding. They can't end up tied. The Kings' runs, though, man, they went on a huge one going from the end of the first quarter into the second quarter, and then another huge one at the end of the second quarter. And it looks weird because it's like a 16-3 run and maybe like a 21-3 run as well. And you're looking at that, you're like, wow, the Kings just couldn't be stopped. And that's absolutely true. But I thought it was worse that the Lakers weren't able to score on the Kings. Mm. They went like 5 minutes between field goals. And that seems impossible against the Kings team that can give up some points, especially against the Lakers squad that likes to score in the paint. But they just could not get anything going. In the 23 minutes that LeBron and Anthony Davis played together, they were a plus one. So it was all happening when those two guys were split up. They just could not generate any sort of offense against the Kings team that's generally pretty flammable. Bad offense turns into good offense for the other side because the Kings were just taking the ball, running it down their throats, and getting some really solid shot making. Like Davion Mitchell was on fire. Yeah. That guy is not necessarily a shooter, but he was feeling it last night. So the game seemed to be won in the second quarter. That's kind of what LeBron said afterwards, and then he just dipped out for the last 3 minutes.
Yeah. See ya. White flag on this one. I guess some excuse, didn't he? He's got this tweaked ankle and all that going, but you're right. They were like, okay, we're not winning this one.
Yeah, he also went for 31 points on 10 of 16 shooting.
Yeah, not bad.
Before his ankle was hurt.
He was awesome.
He was mad.
Yeah.
He did have a little limp, a little light limp, as he said, or as he kind of, his body said, I'm done here. And he was, yeah, he just walked off. They went at Kevin Huerter in the first quarter. They were just going at him over and over and over again. And then Kevin Huerter sat in the second quarter, and so did Harrison Barnes. And that's when they made a monstrous run, as you said, Trey, 44-20 in that second quarter for those guys. They shot ridiculous percentages, 80% from three, 78% from the field in that quarter because those threes were wide open. And, yeah, the Kings started that run in the first quarter. And, yeah, the Warriors just hopped those Lakers who are sitting there in 10th, and the Warriors can easily hop over the Mavericks into that first seeding of 7-8. But all I was watching in this game was Domantas Sabonis destroying Anthony Davis. He was giving it to him. He does that over and over and over again. 16, 20, and 12 for him. He kind of has AD's number.
That's a lot of roast beef.
That's a lot of roast beef. So that's a big, big stat line. leads the league in triple doubles. That's what he does, but he loves playing against Anthony Davis.
Yeah, we have the Western Conference standings here updated after all of last night's action. It's obviously still jammed up there when you're looking from 5 through 10. Not a lot of games separating them. The Pelicans, I guess, up 4 now on the Lakers, but Kings 7, Mavs 8. Warriors 9, Lakers 10. Those are four good teams that are going to be, you know, right now, if the playoffs started today or the play-in started today, would be fighting to just get into the playoffs and take on some of those teams up top. But, man, good win from the Kings. You said it there, Trey. They really sort of needed that one.
That was huge.
Dropped to the Bulls. They lost 3 of 4. They're falling in the standings. So Fox coming through. Sabonis doing his part. Monk got 26. And yeah, Mitchell was on fire. That was a really, really much needed win, really, for Sacramento.
Yeah, Monk against his old team, I'm sure, was a part of it. And the Kings were up, what, 22 against the Bulls and gave that up. And it was the exact same lead in this one. I thought maybe it's going to happen again. But tonight, they get the Spurs without Wembanyama. That could be a dud of a game for the Kings, who like to lay some duds.
Oh,
that shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is the Spurs without Wembanyama. It should not be.
We but just talked positively about the Sacramento Kings, and they play the Spurs without Wemby tonight, so...
Yep.
Oh, boy.
They'll at least be close. Yes. They play to their level. That's absolutely right. Good thing we got that D'Angelo Russell short up yesterday, though.
Yeah, sure.
10 points on 3 of 10 shooting.
Hey. I said we had to push
that's
it yesterday.
That's how he does it, man. That's how he does it.
Speaking of pushing, let's get to the DeMar DeRozan scoring 29 points as the Bulls edge the Jazz 119-117. So Chicago gets the win, tight game, but the story from this one is this little fracas. At the end of the game, Jordan Clarkson, Colin Sexton, you know, they fouled DeMar DeRozan, maybe Sexton a little too hard, about 9 seconds to go. Utah is trailing by one, so they got a foul. Following the foul, Sexton, Torrey Craig, they start exchanging words. Torrey Craig's not playing, by the way.
He's
in dress clothes. But they start jawing a little bit. Tempers flare. And then things escalate when John Collins and Bulls assistant coach Chris Fleming, they get into a brief little shoving match here. And that's when really then everybody all separate. You know, it almost came back to bite the Bulls in the ass.
Yeah.
When you get into the free throw situations and Tex handed out, but they hold on. But what'd you think of the extracurricular stuff at the end of this game?
Get your hands off my coach. Come on, John.
Well, John says Chris pushed him first, I believe is what
well,
John
Well, I know John
said.
Collins ran across the court to get involved
right.
with that fight. But that's why the Jazz got one free throw out of it, because attack on Craig, attack on Fleming, and attack on Collins, that leads to one extra technical for the Bulls. So, a free throw. The Bulls were up one at the time, and DeRozan got fouled, like, intentionally, you know, like, they, no big deal. I don't know what Torrey Craig was so upset about.
I know.
He kind of started
that's what
this
I was
thing.
Like, I was like, and like they were like, Clarkson patted DeRozan on the back, and I think Sexton maybe got him a little bit in
guaranteed
the
guaranteed Sexton said something to the bench.
Yes.
It was right in front of the Bulls bench. That guy's a trash talker.
Yeah.
Guarantee he said something. Oh, yeah, I fouled him. Right. Don't you foul him. And then we were just like, you know, touching foreheads for a while there. But it did give the Jazz a point.
Yeah.
It did ice DeRozan at the free throw line.
True.
Shout out to him. He comes in, still knocks down two. And then the Jazz ran a play, got a wide open look for Colin Sexton. Alex Caruso got tripped up, like chasing around the screen, literally fell down, but he was just too open. Clanged it off the side, but this is every game for the Bulls at this point. Another clutch game, 36th of the season, third in the league. Another clutch win for the Bulls, 21st of the season, first in the league. And DeRozan, yet again, huge in the fourth quarter. He outscored the Kings 19-16 in the fourth in their last win, had 17 points on 6-12 field goals last night. Tom Haberstroh just recently posted in the last three seasons, DeRozan is third in effective field goal percentage behind Nikola Jokic and Steph Curry. A lot of that is that huge, that one season when he should have won Clutch Player of the Year before they invented the award.
All right.
But nonetheless, the Bulls are just good in the clutch for whatever reason. They're third in clutch rating, and they have the best clutch defense in the league by a mile in clutch situations, and they've played the most minutes in the clutch this entire season. Just imagine if they could do that the first 43 minutes. I mean, they're a fair defensive team, but they really lock it down in the fourth quarters. Bulls, after the terrible start, they've been playing at a 46-win pace for 43 games at this point or something like that. So I looked it up. I was like, man, 46 wins. That's a solid team. That's the eighth seed in both conferences right now, 46-win pace. But they are a legit eighth seed. Legit,
they are playing to give themselves two chances
that's right.
in the play-in. What do you think of the ending or anything from the Bulls here?
Well, the ending, yeah, it wasn't a fight, that's for sure.
Was it a fracas?
Fracas or skirmish. Because sure. Man Darnell Mayberry wrote about it in The Athletic. Full article. He didn't call it a fight. You can't call it a fight. He called it a fracas.
Shoving
he called it a skirmish. Yeah. That's as far as he went. Love those words. Brouhaha, perhaps. But I loved... Yeah, John Collins was just peeved. I loved his quote. Because the Bulls assistant, Chris Fleming, he did put his hands...
It was like a get out of the bench sort of thing.
Yeah, because
right?
John Collins did come over. So he was the first to touch John Collins. Collins didn't go at him first. But he did put his hands or his arm on John Collins. And Collins said, y'all go watch the film. I just protected myself. I'm literally just standing there. And the dude puts a forearm in my chest and is pushing me back. So I don't know. He needs some more self-control. But it's whatever. I don't know what to say about that. That was weird. I like that quote.
That was weird. That was a great weird. Way to end it. Yeah.
Yes, because that's true. It was weird. He had a good game guarding Vooch because he had to play center. They didn't have Markkanen. They didn't have Keontae George. They didn't have Taylor Hendricks. They didn't have Walker Kessler. They didn't have a bunch of guys. And he went hard as they just continuously run the pick and roll as they do with Vooch over and over and over again. Their number one team to run the pick and rolls. And Collins was decent. And he did, I don't know what that was where he got Caruso and Caruso fell down and Colin Sexton got a wide open three. Because I don't think they even meant it to go to Colin Sexton in the corner because that was just – Collins just hit Caruso. I don't think that was even the plan. It just looked like an unwarranted hit. But anyways, he falls down on the floor. And the Jazz team, again, all those names that weren't playing, they're down by so many, and they're able to come back. I don't know what it is about that Utah arena, about Salt Lake City, but those fans are good for a team,
right,
that's not even sniffing the postseason.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just, it feels, number one, it feels like they're on top of you. That's how Steve Ballmer just built a new Inglewood, or Intuit Dome in Inglewood. And they're all there. They got nothing else to do. That's a packed stadium.
And they're still mad at the Bulls. I saw so many Bulls beat writers tweeting that the whatever their arena is called, the Wi-Fi is Jordan pushed off.
Jordan,
that's the name
off.
Of the Wi-Fi.
No, that is hilarious.
Seriously, yeah.
Wow, that is pretty funny.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That was a long time ago.
Holy,
it's a very long time ago.
Long time.
Yeah. Jordan, never forget.
And they, you can hold this L, Jazz fans.
Oh, damn! What a game.
Collins pushed off. That's what the Bulls are changing their Wi-Fi to.
Other games last
also,
night.
Also, hold on. One last thing that was very funny about the skirmish fracas. Somebody dropped their phone and Vooch picked it up like mid-skirmish.
Oh,
a phone falls out of the coach's pocket or something like that. He steps on it, slides it to himself, and hands it to him. Everybody else is pushing each other. Vooch, though, he didn't know if that phone was insured. He was looking out for somebody's back.
Oh, very nice of him. Good teammate there. The other games last night, Jaren Jackson Jr. scored 30 points in a Grizzlies 115-109 win over the 76ers. I know Philly is missing a lot of guys. Tyrese Maxey not playing, concussion, protocol, he's out, but that's still a bad loss, obviously. SGA had 37 points as the Thunder held off the Blazers by 8. The Hawks recovered to beat the Cavs. They're banged up. No Mobley. He's going to be out a week at least. 112-101 for Atlanta. And then the Magic rallied. There was a lot of big, sort of comebacks last night. Magic were, down 21. They rallied to win by 10 as the Wizards tie franchise record with their 16th straight loss. Thoughts on any of those?
It sucks for the Cavs that Evan Mobley could be out even longer. His swelling in his ankle is just too big for them to be able to say it's a few days. So they're waiting until today. So, it's like a town situation. It's not the knee, but it could be a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And, the Cavs just need to find a bit of a role without Mitchell being out. Obviously, just up and down the roster and Evan Mobley out for so long.
Max Strus was out. Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, not much to say for
me. Well, we need to show everybody the Jordan Poole play.
Oh,
he nearly became a legend if he had shot this. If you don't know what I'm talking about, and for the podcast listeners, he's on the fast break, Jordan Poole is. He's got the ball, and he stumbles. He falls over, sort of just inside the three-point line. And then he gets up, and we have the clip here. He gets up, and he looks at that rim, because he doesn't know what to do with it, doesn't know where to pass it. And he literally thought about shooting it. And, man, he would have broke Twitter if he had shot that. That to me would have gone down, whether it went in or it would have been funnier if he had airballed it or missed it badly. That would have been that's like Ricky Davis going for his own triple double off the backboard. It's in that same where you just never forget it. And that clip would come up all the time, but he showed some restraint and said, no, I can't take this
he
shot.
He should have shot it.
I know.
2-for-1.
That's true. 2-for-1.
Analytics, man.
Yeah, you're right. You're
hey,
right.
Poole's been decent off the bench. He had 32 against the Jazz in their previous game, 26 last night. But I thought a Bisman-like win for the Magic because they got down huge early. Got down by 21, second night of a back-to-back for them. They even had to deal with Johnny Davis hitting a three. I literally saw Johnny Davis hit a three live.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. First time in his career that I think that has happened. But they stuck with it and won by 10.
Yeah, yeah. And they are in sole position here, a fourth spot in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
Which is an awesome season for them. Jamal Mosley, he might get some Coach of the Year consideration here
sure.
late. I don't know if he'll win it, but good stuff from him. And yeah, business-like win.
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing the Wizards. You should win, but... Man.
But they could have easily tucked it in. Like, getting down early, the Wizards are trying to break their win streak. But that
streak.
Is... Oh, yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes, exactly right. My bad.
The coaching, as you mentioned about Jamal Mosley, has been, had an incredible year. Nobody has been talking about because it's been trumped by Doc Rivers moving on into the Milwaukee role. But the Wizards did fire their coach, and Brian Keefe has taken over, and he put Jordan Poole on the bench. Which is a move, and it's helped. It's helped Jordan Poole look like he kind of did with the Warriors. I mean, he's scoring.
It's helped Jordan Poole's box score. It
yeah.
hasn't helped the results, unfortunately.
No,
it hasn't. Right.
Well, their team is stinky poopy. They go trade away Gafford. They trade away their team. They're just looking to next year. Kyle Kuzma basically said, I was asked if I wanted to be dealt, but no, I want to be here.
I want to play center.
So weird.
He was their starting center last night.
Yeah, no.
that's not
what a
big
weird
man.
Team.
They are tiny.
Yeah,
they are tiny.
Let me add this from the Thunder game too. Some prayers up for Bismack Biyombo, who I don't know if you guys saw this. He appeared to collapse while standing in front of the Thunder bench during the second quarter. There was a lengthy delay. They brought out a wheelchair, but thankfully he didn't have to use it. He was helped off. He headed to the locker room, and the Thunder are saying it's not a serious medical condition. So he did sort of faint. I don't know if it's dehydration or whatever, but pretty scary scene, of course. But the Thunder saying he's going to be okay.
They said he was joking in the locker room.
That's exactly right.
May have stood up too fast.
Yeah.
It can happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
For sure. Anything else?
Yeah, one other thing
games?
I saw. You mentioned bad loss for the 76ers losing to the Grizzlies. I mean, the 76ers just basically have nobody right now mm-hmm. except for Tobias Harris, and I don't think Sixers fans really want to have Tobias Harris mm-hmm. right now. Nonetheless, I saw a triple tip dunk from the 76ers. At one point, Kelly Oubre takes a three from the left wing. He misses. Nick Batum, KJ Martin, and Tobias Harris are all there, and they all touched the ball in the tip dunk. That was pretty cool.
Who got the credit?
Batum.
Batum did.
Yeah.
Now, did he put his hand up and say, give me that one?
Great question. Great question. But it was like a group high five all at the same time on the ball. It looked awesome.
So not a great job by the Grizzlies on the defensive
not a big box out there. Yeah.
With three guys having the opportunity to tip dunk it. I mean, like in football, when you get a sack, like if Tass and I hit the quarterback together, they give out half sacks,
half
don't
sack.
They?
They
don't
do
thirds,
sacks.
Though, do they? With three
no.
guys? No. Okay. I'm just wondering if we should consider in NBA scoring half points, third points, stuff like that.
Talk split this it. One.
Yeah,
spread
yeah.
it out.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like the Rockets were awesome in their team rebound category yesterday. Just doing it together. 14 team rebounds. I don't see that too often. That's a high
you
number.
You check the team rebounds?
Oh, God, I need to
stat?
Know.
Wow.
I need to know.
I'm going to keep my eye on it now because
yeah,
to me, I would have thought, I don't know. My gut says that's sort of, I don't know, 10 to 15 feels like an average, but maybe I'm way off.
I don't know. It's the first time I've ever checked
okay.
it. So it seemed high, 14 to 3. But yeah,
I would think team rebounds, I think they're usually like single digits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. All singles.
Yeah. I think they're like one.
Well, that's a lot of team rebounds.
It's a lot of team rebounds.
Schumann, tell us.
14. I don't know
that's
how
like
it happened.
It's like the ball bouncing out of bounds. That's a team rebound.
Yeah, there's
that's
a bunch
team
of
rebound.
There's a bunch of like designations.
Do they call just a tip to somebody else?
They, no, somebody team, gets credit for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
that's
should.
A tough one.
I don't know. Maybe it's
maybe it's that one scorekeeper
Haberstroh
using it for team rebounds.
Come on,
like,
Haberstroh,
like
get on it.
They're on to me when it comes to assists. They'll never suspect me goosing the team rebound numbers.
The team rebounds. Yeah. Very weird.
Deflected out of bounds after the shot, blocked out of bounds, or bounced directly off the rim out of bounds. Those are some things that
some
can be
of
a
them.
Team rebound.
Okay.
And
still sounds high.
Others, I think. Yeah, it does. Okay, maybe you're right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, some fun questions in the up-down report. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with the boys in the Classic Factory. Hit the like button, subscribe, podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Are we doing 5-star Friday on the Drop podcast tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so.
We
nice.
Might be due for that. So get your reviews in. Okay, let's get into the up-down report.
Preparing your tubies. It's the up-down report.
Yeah, I got a few questions for you guys. Get your thumbs ready. Thumbs up, thumbs down on these. Third installment of the NBA Abu Dhabi Games is a go, and it will feature the defending champion Denver Nuggets taking on the Boston Celtics in a pair of preseason games slated for Friday, October 4th and Sunday, October 6th in the Middle East. Up or down on Celtics Nuggets being the two teams playing preseason games in Abu Dhabi?
I'm going to go down. The reason why, I don't like the way it looks on TV. I got to be honest. I've watched preseason games where the Atlanta Hawks play. I don't think the camera work, the footage is all that good.
In the Abu Dhabi arena there.
Yes, yes. I'm all for the Celtics and Nuggets playing.
Okay.
It's a wide angle. I don't know what's going on in that arena. But maybe they fixed it.
Okay.
I know they love their sports there. They love their golf. This isn't live, but they are putting lots of money into sports.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening here. As we see the Emirates logo on referees' jerseys right now. So it's a weird...
That's a thing.
That's happening. When you watch a referee do a video review, you see the Emirates logo. That feels weird.
That does feel weird.
Well, it's the Emirates NBA Cup, too. For the in-season tournament. Like, you know, yeah, next season for
yes,
sure.
Yes, yes, next season.
You're telling me this was a three-pronged deal? We got the refs, we got the cup, and you're getting a rematch of the... Well, maybe the 2024 NBA Finals.
Possible.
We'll see. It's a possible rematch.
Yeah.
I'm glad TASS went down because I couldn't find a reason. Therefore, I had to go up. But I guess I hadn't checked the footage for the camera angles. Does feel like they're going to be getting at least some really good teams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, two of the top teams in the league, two of the best title contenders for the past couple of seasons. But it feels like it'll be a long summer for, like, Jason Tatum, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray. I mean, maybe Porzingis. I don't know what Latvia's deal is over the summer, but between the Olympics and this game,
yeah,
and probably going deep into the playoffs, going to be busy.
Not a lot of rest. Yeah, this is the third straight year here that the NBA is going to hold these preseason games in Abu Dhabi. The first one, Bucks-Hawks in 2022. Then we have the Mavericks-Wolves. And then in 24 here in October, Nuggets-Celtics. They also they had Team USA there for a few exhibition games in their preparation for the FIBA World Cup. You already said the whole Emirates NBA Cup thing and the sponsorship on the refs' jerseys. It's a multi-year collaboration between the NBA and the Department of Culture and Tourism, Abu Dhabi. They got the Bucks.
They got the Bucks.
Give me your sports. Oh. We want them all.
No, they got the Nuggets and Celtics.
There are many prongs. The Emirates patches on its referees in the NBA, G League, and WNBA. Wow.
Yeah.
That's unheard of.
I didn't notice the patch on the G League officials.
They didn't have them yet.
No, they didn't have them yet.
Not that game.
Oh, wow.
No, because the referees were right in front of us telling us, if you need any additional information on something that happens on the floor, we'll let you know.
Yeah, I have some questions about the Department of Culture and Tourism Abu Dhabi. Ma'am?
Also, the logo at center court needs to be improved. It's just...
For this game again.
Yeah, it's plain.
You got a lot of notes, my man. You got to send them in.
I just watched a preseason game of those two that you mentioned, 22 and 23. It just doesn't look good. There's something going on. I do not have the information, whether it's the fiber in the Wi-Fi, whether it's just the floor, whether it's the logo. Hmm. It looks odd.
Okay.
It doesn't look professional. Maybe they'll spruce it up.
You're right. This is just a plain logo.
It's just generic.
No, it just doesn't. Yeah.
It looks like the Summer League logo.
Yeah, basically. That's that thing. That's
you want something, especially if you've done this now for the third straight year. This is a thing I assume they want to do.
Something circular,
moving
I would
forward.
Say.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one. We've had a few smaller transactions over the last couple days. Shake Milton officially became a Knick after clearing waivers on Tuesday. The Pistons signed veteran big man Taj Gibson to a 10-day contract. The Wolves did the same with forward TJ Warren. And the Miami Heat added Patty Mills to the roster. He's going to replace Drew Smith, who underwent season-ending knee surgery. I'm probably missing a few as well. But the question for up-down, Trey, you get it started. Are any of the bio guys going to make a difference? Thumbs up if you think they will. Thumbs down if you're like, no, not really.
Patty Mills is going to hit 4 threes in a quarter.
Mm. Wow, okay. I thought for sure Trey Kirby would go down on this because you usually are like, none of this ever matters.
Never matters. Literally never matters unless you're the Heat.
Yeah.
And then it matters.
Yeah.
Kevin Love last year, guy couldn't get on the court for the Cavaliers. They said, go away. He said, fine, I'll go to the Heat and play in the finals. Literally, he was playing finals minutes.
Yeah.
It's to the point now with me where I'm like, who's the worst player the Heat could sign as a buyout guy? And I think it's going to work. Like, if Taj Gibson would have went to the Heat, I'd be like, I could see it happening.
It's a problem.
I could see him shutting down somebody, giving it to Al Horford, something like that. But, I mean, realistically, not likely.
Yeah.
But, man, you can never count out the Heat. They get a veteran guy, and suddenly they're instantly rejuvenated. What do they got in the water down there?
It's true, yeah. Kevin Love was starting in the finals at times and playing well. Patty, will he be able to do it for this year? He hasn't with the Atlanta Hawks, but if you're talking just offense, just shooting that thing, Patty can still do that. And he's done that this season. But yeah, will he be able to be a Gabe Vincent or whatever? But you see a lot of guys moving here. Muscala went to OKC, Danilo went to the Bucks. There's some ones that sneak. Taj Gibson again. Isaiah Thomas back in the G League.
He's in the G League.
Trying to make it through. the Shake Milton one, I don't buy with the Knicks. I just don't see him doing it, mainly because of this. Because Daryl Morey always says, like, Shake Milton's going to be our guy. He's going to be our guy. And he was with the Philadelphia 76ers this year, but he was just out of the rotation. And Daryl Morey, as good as he is, been getting a bad rep recently. Chris Paul called him out. James Harden called him out. He lied to me. So I'm not thinking that Shake Milton's going to be good. But it is
weird. Is that just like Brunson insurance, like a little bit with his injury? Get a guard in here.
Yeah.
Sop up some minutes. Tibbs plays all his guys 47 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, Shake. Shake, if you play, get ready to play 45 minutes. And if not, you're not going to see the court. But
yeah, they have enough guards, I think. But it's just odd to see Milton's career, because he was a scorer for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then he went to Minnesota and things didn't work out. So here we are. I just wanted to talk a little trash about Daryl Morey. He was a great guy.
Okay. Next one. TNT's Candace Parker raised some eyebrows with her all-time NBA starting five, which included Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Garnett. Shaquille O'Neal was the notable exclusion there. And that fact was brought up when the two of them were on Inside the NBA on Tuesday. It's a very funny clip. And Shaq's fake crying. And she's explaining why he's off the team. They're going to run and gun. You know, Garnett's going to be able to get up and down the floor. But anyway, up or down on Candace Parker's all-time starting five, MJ, Kobe, Steph, LeBron, and Garnett.
I'm going up.
Okay.
Number one, because the moment was funny, because Shaq had a piece of paper that he put under his glasses. He put under sort of the arm of his glasses because he couldn't look at Candace Parker block it. Second, because it gets you views. I mean, I think that was smart.
Right. So if she just had Shaq on her team.
Nah, it'd be like, okay, that's great. It's your birthday coming up. Cool. That's great. No. Also, Candace Parker's just young. I think that's part of it. I mean, she probably watched Garnett a lot more. You know, she was on his show. So I think that's part of it. I think they're trying to tap into a young crowd.
KG came into the league 3 years after Shaq.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. But he played a little later.
He played long.
They have a relationship problem.
They're both from Illinois.
Yeah, there you go.
Candace Parker played like Kevin Garnett plays.
Right. Yeah.
She handles the ball. She was a defensive player of the year. Could shoot it from outside. Could score inside. Did everything. Two of the best basketball players in the history of Illinois, so I actually love seeing it, but it is funny to see Shaq A get heated and be like, he's not even a center. Positionality.
It's very funny to see like backlash. I mean, it's online backlash. I think half of the time it's like people joking or trolling, but like people are like they felt like generally upset that she had Kevin Garnett on her all-time starting five.
How dare you?
Like he's not one of the greatest players still of all time. Like you might go Shaq. I think you know, the roster construction, I'm more, you know, raising an eyebrow at, do we really need MJ and Kobe on this team? I think you probably could have gone a different direction there, but it's her team. It's her starting five.
I was surprised she took Kobe over Dwayne Wade, actually, because I'm pretty sure that Candace Parker wears number three, because Dwayne Wade wore number three. Also, the Illinois connection there as well.
Okay. So Candace Parker, going with those five. Let's hear from you. Who's your all-time starting five? Raise some eyebrows out there. Next one. This one, really random, guys. The son of Clyde Drexler had a simple but interesting tweet on Tuesday. Quote from Adam Drexler. Hey, Rip City, I got a question for you. Why does my father not have a statue in Portland? And you got three question marks on that last line. So that one really got the people talking. A lot of Blazers fans chiming in, either saying, yeah, you're right, Adam Drexler, or no, get out of here. We don't have any statues. Yeah. So are you up or down on Clyde Drexler being deserving of a Blazers statue?
If they don't have statues, why would they do it? Statues have become this thing that everybody needs a statue.
Right.
They've retired his jersey. It's not like they just kicked him out the door when he wanted to go to Houston. And he won afterwards. But he helped Portland to a final, so that's awesome.
Two.
And, two. So they retired his jersey. I think that's enough.
I think that's enough. So you're sort of down on Adam Drexler's
tweet. It's nice
tweet
to hear. It's nice to read Adam Drexler's tweet, and he responded to everybody who didn't.
Yeah, he was in. Like, he was in the replies for sure.
Discourse.
What do you think? What do you think, Trey? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Drexler deserving a Blazer statue?
Deserving, yes. Okay. He is deserving. He's their all-time leader in games played. Like you mentioned, went to the finals twice. Was their leader in career scoring until Damian Lillard just recently passed them, but they don't have a statue yet. And I don't know if he would be the first statue they do because. Just reading the responses to Adam Drexler. What was his? Drex Glides 2?
Something like that.
That was pretty solid. Pretty solid handle. Basically, everybody was like, well, it feels like Clyde is much more connected to the Houston Rockets now. He was served as their broadcaster for a long time. Obviously won a championship there. So, I don't know. Feels like Bill Walton should probably have a statue for the Blazers as well. He doesn't yet. Maybe Lillard will someday, but they all three, I think, would be deserving if the Blazers ever decide to do statues.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Drexler played 11 and a half seasons with Portland. He made 8 of his 10 All-Star games as a Blazer. He made 4 of his 5 All-NBA teams as a Blazer. It probably is some sort of toss-up. When you look at longevity in Portland, greatest Blazer of all time, it's probably Drexler or Dame. I mean, again, Bill Walton got the championship, and you know they love him there, and as you should, but you know didn't play as long as those guys. I did see Adam Drexler tweet a little bit later after all those replies, quote, I see I hurt some of your feelings with my statue question. You do realize you can have multiple statues. You can celebrate all the Blazers greats, Bill Walton, Damian Lillard. Everybody can get a statue.
Yeah.
He lost me there. No, everybody cannot get a statue. This is why we have the statues. But I understand of the greats, yes, if they go this route.
I guess he just watched Allen Iverson's clip walking outside the Philadelphia arena where everyone does have a statue.
That's a great point.
Dolph Chase, Cunningham, up and down the frame list.
Some franchises like the Lakers have a ton of them and the Sixers, and I'm sure there are a few others that I'm drawing a blank on, but there are many franchises that have none.
Yeah.
Like they just go the jersey retirement route or Ring of Honors and stuff like that.
Or they don't even retire jerseys. Like the Thunder haven't retired one, right?
I think that's right.
Nick Collison?
The Raptors. The Raptors don't have one.
Yeah, the Raptors don't have one.
Yeah.
Nick Collison was the first.
I did look up to see if Bill Walton has a statue anywhere. He's got one at a San Diego YMCA, and it's awesome. It's him standing behind a bike with his arms out as he always does.
Oh, yeah.
And his statue is wearing like a bronze tie-dye shirt.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it looked awesome. I want to see that statue.
And was it a YMCA that he played at?
Yeah, I think he says, like, the Y saved my life growing up or something like that. Yeah.
Cool. Neat. All right, final one here. James Harden unveiled a player-exclusive colorway in collaboration with McDonald's last night. The unique addition here, known as the Harden Volume 8 McDonald's All-American Game Color, featured a vibrant blend of yellow and red. We got mustard and ketchup style, baby. And the insoles have printouts of the McDonald's logo alongside illustrations of burgers and fries and beverages and, I guess, ice cream cones. And, yeah, look at these. Quite bright, that's for sure. Up or down on Harden's McDonald's shoes. Trey?
Sideways. I'll go sideways. I like the shoe, but I don't like the red and yellow together. But I guess James Harden was McDonald's All-American back in the day, and these also, I guess, sort of matches Arizona State days, but ketchup and mustard is what I see. I guess you would say Ronald McDonald as well.
Tass, your thoughts? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Yeah, I'm thumbs up.
You like them?
I like the shoe. I just recently fell while we did our weave at the College Park Skyhawks game because I didn't have a basketball shoe. So I'm looking for a basketball shoe.
Yeah. Apparently, they have great grip.
Could be the UNESCO's.
That's what people say.
Yeah, it looks good. It looks like – it kind of reminds me of the old T-Mac Adidas shoes that, you know, they look like the Audi. But these are way more sly. Like, it looks like you could put these on because they have a sleeve that you put your foot into.
Yeah.
You know?
Pretty good, I think.
But I think they're way lighter than a T-Mac Adidas.
Okay.
I'd imagine. I guess.
You wouldn't do this colorway, though. Or you would.
Probably not, yeah.
I can't picture you rocking these, but
they're
just – I can't picture a lot of people wearing these.
Right. You can't picture anybody wearing
these.
They are
very, very bright, vibrant, ketchup mustard style.
I'm surprised that they put an ice cream cone and a McFlurry in the liner.
Oh, that's what – yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can get those there if the machines are working, but nobody thinks about ice cream at McDonald's.
Well, they at least –
it's all Bergs, yeah, dog.
They put them in the insoles so you can't see them.
You got a fillet of fish on there as well. That's pretty cool.
Jeez, I didn't notice the detail.
Where's Grimace?
Yeah, Rob.
Where's my guy? Where's the Hamburglar?
Yeah, Robble Robble, baby.
I respect that Frosty, though. I just went to a Wendy's. Because I had a free pass for a Frosty for my daughter. And it didn't even come in a real cup. A real cup. It came in a cup, but it didn't come in an endorsed package. It just came in this little tiny cup. I guess because it was free, it came in like this.
Oh, it didn't say Wendy's on it. Is that what
you're saying? It didn't say – didn't have color on it. It was just a clear plastic.
Are you sure you were at a Wendy's?
It was a clear plastic.
Sir, this is not a Wendy's.
Yeah, it looked terrible. Okay.
How'd it taste?
I respect. It tasted like ice cream.
All right.
And it was all right. I sucked it back on the ride home. It was good. That being said, Matt and I recently, we talked about Wendy's before Is This Good on his next episode. And he asked, do you know what Wendy's is?
What?
What kind of a question is that?
What is he asking on this podcast? Do you know what Wendy's is?
That's all the show is now. Just asking have you ever heard of McDonald's?
Wow. I mean, I'll admit I haven't gone to Wendy's in a very long time.
Yeah, I'm not going back.
I mean, I am Team McDonald's if we're, you know, if those type of fast food spots.
Wendy's, when they were the only one that had the spicy chicken sandwich, that's when they were on top of the game. But now everybody's got them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get them anywhere. They don't even put their Frosties in regular cups.
They don't.
Let me guess, they gave you a plastic spoon.
Of course.
Used to be wooden.
I was like, what do you want?
To serve the worst thing possible for eating, like a frozen treat. It was like a flat wooden spoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're just dragging your lips on this splintery piece of wood.
Nice to chomp on it after, though.
Yeah, that was nice. Fun. I agree with that. It's like a toothpicks to the max.
Super toothpick.
I lied just to go with your story. They didn't give a spoon at all.
What?
They just told you to suck
it
back.
I don't think
you were at Wendy's. You just went to somebody's house named Wendy.
Yeah. She was a great person.
No, I got some chocolate ice cream.
Also, there's a lot of spice in the nuggets, too. It's a little spicy.
Okay, good.
Pepperoni.
Yeah, they got it. They got to amp it up, I think.
Yeah.
They got to change it up.
We know spice. Wendy's.
So what was the topic on Is This Good? Like, what was it actually about? Is just Wendy's good?
Wow. No, it was there's a lot of fast food talk.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's coming out not this Monday but next Monday.
Oh wow. Jeez. Yeah. Hopefully
we're
Wendy's
banking.
Is still around by then.
Yeah. Actually.
All right. Good point. Solid point here by Half-Life Heroes. The Baconator is delicious. They are well known for the Baconator these days.
They do a good job, I will say, at their advertising with all these jingles they're always putting in their commercials. Cuz they just had a Baconator song one, and they have a new one. I just saw it, and I'm like, wow, man, they're good at just coming up with these little catchy, stupid songs.
I only know the Burger King jingle off the top of my head.
I don't know it. I don't know a Wendy's jingle.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you too. Obviously,
very catchy.
It didn't work all that well.
They should just play it.
You said it. I'm like, yeah. Whopper, 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 no, Whopper. That's Burger King.
Yeah, no. There is one. But anyway, we'll think about
that's
it.
That's what they did on Survivor yesterday. They just yelled the name of their tribe over and over. That was their jingle.
Nami.
But did you know about this about Wendy's? Because I didn't know Dave Thomas,
who
started the thing, named it after his daughter.
Yes,
Wendy.
Didn't know that.
Didn't know that.
I don't know why I didn't know that, but I didn't know that.
Cool. Was it like a quiz before you got your thing?
No, it's not a quiz. It was it was on Is This Good. It was on a podcast.
Okay. Well, do you know that Harvey's is named after...
Steve?
Oh man, what if it was
incredible.
I just love burgers.
Some man named Rob Thomas, the singer, created Harvey's in Canada, and it's named after his adopted son Steve Harvey. A lot of people don't know that. Let's take a break. Jeez. And when we come back, JD has tweet of the night, so you know it's going to be wild. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, during the break, I figured out one of those Wendy's jingles that I was talking about that I couldn't remember. Here it is. I'm going to play it for you. It's really quick.
I really can't get
much for $5 these days, unless...
Oh, yeah.
There you go. You got that bang.
Is that a real song?
Now, there's a new one, but it's not online yet, so let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
You got that tweet.
I do have that tweet. But you know what? I'm going to dust off an old segment that we used to do. We don't do it anymore because I don't know why. We're just positive pizza around here. It's an old segment that we used to do. It's called Worst of the Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the worst of the week.
Wow.
I know it's only Thursday. But I didn't want to go on Twitter last night, so something caught my eye this week. The worst of the week goes to Jason Momoa. We're going off the basketball court.
Oh, wow.
Jason Momoa, star of Fast and the Furious. He's in Game of Thrones. He's in Dune. But he just had Aquaman 2 just came out on Max. Mm-hmm. So sometimes on Max, they'll do this. Like when Barbie came out, you had a carousel full of movies that said Greta Gerwig's picks. So the director of Barbie, you know, picked some titles. They had to be on Max or within the Warner Brothers family. And, you know, she picked like 8.5 by Fellini, you know, Parasite, Casablanca, that kind of thing.
Sure.
She put some effort into it.
Right.
I'm going to show you Jason Momoa's Carousel on Max, which has been taken down, by the way.
Oh, wow. Oh boy.
So
okay, right. I'm excited. This
is, there's two things here. Either he's just like, well, I'll show it and then we'll talk.
Okay.
Here it is. First one is Joker. Fine. You know, people love that movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Whatever.
That's fine. I hate it, but whatever. Okay. Rocky. Great movie. Seven Samurai.
Nice.
Great movie. Rocky 2. Okay. On the Roam.
Hey.
This is his show.
Okay.
Rocky 3.
Okay.
Game of Thrones.
Hey.
He's in this. Rocky 4.
Oh,
Dune. He's in this. Rocky 5. The Climb. Also his show. Rocky Balboa. And Aquaman, the Ridge.
This is brilliant.
Okay, well, here's why I'm mad. Because it's like, he could have... Okay, you want to do a troll job? Fine. You know what? Put all the Rocky movies in there, Joker, and everything I'm in. Fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, I guess that's fine, but you could have done a way better job. Like, throw in an Impractical Jokers. Throw in whatever. You know, like, just like, these are Jason Momoa's picks. Like, if he wanted to just, like, make a joke of it.
Sure.
But he just didn't even bother. He's
he
just
didn't
like,
do it.
He just fucking didn't do it.
He didn't do it.
Which makes my blood boil. Because the poor, like, whoever it was, like, the marketing intern went to him and was like, hey, Jason, can you pick 13 movies? Just, or 13 titles that are on this. You want to pick Game of Thrones? Fine. I mean, that's sort of, it's in the upper echelon of the Max universe,
right.
I guess. And, you know, Rocky 1, Rocky 4, okay. Rocky 1 to 4, okay, fine. But Rocky Balboa? The Climb?
Yeah. No, these are bad.
It's just bad. I mean, there's at least 50 movies. I looked it up. It took me 10 seconds, Jason.
Jason to Jason here.
Jason to Jason.
There's at least 50 films above 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. At least.
On the platform.
On Max.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got Aliens. You got Casablanca. You got Parasite. You got Winter's Bone. You got Time Bandits. Spirited Away. Blah, blah, blah. And then you have the entire catalog of the HBO series. And you pick The Climb, the thing that you're in. I get it. Like, you want to, like, self-promote. But Aquaman 2 is right there. It's, like, the biggest thing on Max right now. Piece of shit, by the way. Couldn't even get past the first act.
Oh, you tried to watch it?
I tried. Me and Jax were like, well, should we see how bad it actually is?
Yeah.
It's worse than we thought.
You gave up on it.
Gave up? Oh,
holy
God.
Crap. And what did you think of the first one?
Garbage.
Yeah.
But watchable in comparison.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, the kids were younger then, so, you know, it was fine.
Yeah, it was something.
It was Aquaman! Fine. Anyways.
Needs more Harlan in it.
Jason Momoa, the worst of the week.
All right. Great to hear worst of the week.
What are
back.
You doing, Jason? What's so, you so busy? You got, you're just sitting around on a fucking Dune 2 set. Like, put some time into it. Like, show us what you like. Like, what? Anyways, whatever.
Is he in Dune 2?
Yeah. Well,
I don't want to say too much. Yeah, I know.
Well,
but...
anyways, we'll see. Well, I think so. I think so.
Okay.
My boy.
He's definitely in Dune.
He says my boy a lot.
Weird
Dune.
Guy to see without a beard, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really
yeah.
weird.
When he cleans up in that
you're
one.
Like, yeah, get your beard back.
Duncan Idaho.
Yeah. Perfectly cast. I mean, he's great. I like him.
I think
he's a great actor, and he's a fun guy to watch on screen. But come on, man. That's it.
Okay.
Worst great
of the
stuff.
Week. Good stuff.
Cassie, we got to bring it back. Worst of the week is fun.
Yeah, I've just been Negative Nancy for so long. I mean, for like 20 years of Worst of the Week. Yeah, it really slowed me down. It's great to see our Slack channel, Worst of the Week, is still alive.
Okay.
Cool. Even though it feels dead.
No one's contributed to it.
Well, it could definitely replace Tweet of the Night. I mean, come on.
I know. Yeah. Worst of the
Night. He doesn't even go on Tweet or Twitter anymore.
Yeah.
Worst of the Night, yeah.
Good stuff, JD. You said they took it down, though.
Yeah, it's gone.
That's very funny.
Yeah, that's the funniest thing. Yeah.
I mean, if anything, it had people talking and like going maybe to check it out.
Well, I guess.
Did you see the movies he picked? I don't know.
I mean, to be honest, like, this is not going to encourage me to watch any of the Rocky movies, really. Like, it's just another fucking thing to scroll through. But with the Greta Gerwig one, I was like, okay, these are interesting picks.
Yeah.
You know, like, I forgot about
maybe
that
some
movie.
Movies you didn't know or seen
exactly.
or yeah.
Oh, I didn't know this was on Max.
Right.
But,
right. Anyways. Well, the whole Rocky.
Yeah, good news. Rocky Balboa is on Max, so watch it.
Okay. Thank you.
I think I saw that in the theater. Not good.
Did you? Yeah, it's not good.
Not good. Is that Rocky 6, basically? Right, like that comes before Creed and everything.
Yes, it definitely does.
Isn't there like a virtual reality fight or something like Rocky has to train against a video game? Something there's something weird like that.
I know that my mom bought me Rocky Balboa on DVD for Christmas once, and I was, why did you buy this?
You're gonna love this.
So that you definitely just saw this on a shelf while you were checking out at like Giant Tiger or Target or something.
Yeah. Oh, Philip loves movies.
Yeah, that was a very strange gift. Okay, we'll call it there. Coming up at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. We're going to go a little earlier today. We will be recapping last night's episode of Survivor. Another 2-hour episode. It was quite chunky. Probably didn't need to be 2 hours. But we'll break it all down on No Buffs. That link is in the show notes. Perfect time to get in. Great time to get in. You should click through and at least subscribe. Help your boys out. Go subscribe to No Buffs on YouTube or whatever podcast platform you use, Apple, Spotify. And hey, maybe check it out. We have a lot of laughs breaking down this very hilarious show. So that's at 12:30 p.m. Eastern here on Thursday. We're back tomorrow for the Drop podcast at 1 p.m. No, at 10 a.m. Eastern. Although we've been starting a little late, so maybe it'll eventually get to 1. But we'll see you either later today for No Buffs or tomorrow for the No Dunks podcast. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Worst of the Week is back. And I have my pick for tomorrow, JD. That carousel that you're going through on the Max application and how you had to go left to right at the end of it because it doesn't scroll all the way through. I mean, come on. Why does it just stop at the end? That's not a smart move by Max.
Yeah.
Just roll it. That's what you want to do as a user.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Embrace the day, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.